Okay, our final speaker is Brian Heilebrock, and Brian is an epidemiology working in HIV/AIDS surveillance with the Georgia Department of Public Health.
Good afternoon, everyone. So today I will be speaking to you about linkage to care among newly diagnosed HIV cases and the challenges associated with measuring linkage to care. So linkage to care is the process of new HIV diagnoses initiating in HIV care. As a measure, linkage to care is used as a target to determine successful epidemic control. However, linkage is also crucial for the reduction of HIV transmission, while delays in linkage to care increase the risk of hospitalization. In addition, linkage to care was redefined for the National HIV/AIDS Strategy updated to 2020, from linkage within 90 days to linkage within 30 days, further reflecting the importance of rapid entry into care. So how do we measure linkage to care? Well, it's a simple calculation. It's the difference in days between the HIV diagnosis date and the date of first HIV care visit. And to get these dates, Georgia's HIV surveillance captures lab reports and diagnostic tests. However, we do not collect information on antiretroviral therapy or HIV medical visits, so we must rely on dates listed with the CD4 counts and viral loads as proxies for the HIV medical care visits. So historically, Georgia has reported linkage to care using the first CD4 or viral load result, regardless of whether those labs were dated on or near the diagnosis date, or as we call these labs, same-day labs. However, the question is, should lab tests performed on or soon after the diagnosis date be considered in linkage to care calculations? So that is the question that Georgia and many other health departments are now actively exploring. So our objectives for this study were to determine the impact of using these same-day labs to measure linkage to care, and to determine how retention in care and viral suppression differ between cases linked to care based on same-day labs and cases linked to care based on no same-day labs. So we started with a population of 2,434 new HIV diagnoses diagnosed in Georgia in 2014, and we excluded 172 cases who had a CD4 or viral load lab result before their diagnosis date. We did this because we were suspicious about whether these cases were actually diagnosed previously, as their labs would suggest that they were actually in HIV care before their diagnosis date. It's possible that we missed their true diagnosis date for these cases, and because medical care and among HIV patients in Georgia is often fragmented among multiple states, and we may have actually just not received their diagnostic test for whatever reason, or the sample dates may have been listed in error by the reporting laboratory. So to avoid these scenarios, we just chose to exclude this group from our analysis. In addition, we excluded 514 cases that were lacking a case-defining diagnostic test. So a case-defining diagnostic test for Georgia includes either a Western blot, a type differentiating immunoassay, an antigen antibody test, or any of the HIV immunoassays. And ideally, all HIV cases would have a diagnostic test present in their lab history, yet many of the cases who have a history of labs have none of these diagnostic labs. Therefore, these cases were made HIV cases based on a detectable viral load alone. So it's possible that these missing diagnostic labs were never reported, were performed out of state, that the care provider performed a rapid test in order to engage the patient in HIV care quickly, and that rapid test was not reported either. And then also in Georgia, name-based reporting started in 2004 and electronic lab reporting started in 2011. So another possibility is that these cases were diagnosed much before what their 2014 diagnosis date suggests, and that their tests simply slipped through the cracks when our systems updated and we didn't get it. So without these diagnostic labs to confirm that these cases were truly diagnosed on the diagnosis date listed in our database, we chose to exclude this group as well. So with a final sample size of 1,748 new diagnoses, we divided them into two groups, those with same-day labs and those with no same-day labs. And to be classified as a same-day lab case, you had to have a lab dated within 6 days of the diagnosis date. So in order to make the determination to use 6 days to define same-day labs, we looked at the distribution of days of all of the CD4 and viral load labs received by 2014 new diagnoses. So just to give you a sense in this first graph, how those labs fell, most of the labs took place more than 14 days after diagnosis, or actually at diagnosis, or less or more than 14 days before diagnosis. So to better examine how these labs distribute around the diagnosis date, I removed the high frequency values, including the labs at diagnosis. And so here we can see the number of labs immediately before and after diagnosis decreased steadily until about 7 days. Diagnosis here is depicted by the red arrow. At 7 days after diagnosis, there is an increase in labs, which we suspect is a reasonable period of time for patients to be seen in care after their diagnostic visit. And labs that took place less than 7 days after diagnosis were considered same-day labs. In addition, we included labs within 6 days before diagnosis as same-day labs, under the assumption that these labs, especially those that took place 1 day before diagnosis, were dated in error by the reporting laboratory. So we can assume, based on our standard definition, that all of the same-day labs will be linked to care in 30 days. So if we treat all of the same-day lab cases as if they were no same-day lab cases, we can look at the distribution in time of their first CD4 viral load, or technically their second CD4 viral load, which would be the lab after 6 days after their diagnosis. So these second labs would be considered the same-day lab group's first labs if we were to exclude their same-day labs from the analysis. With that in mind, we can contrast how linkage to care in 30 days and 90 days would look for our 2014 cohort. So excluding same-day labs for within 90 days, the original linkage to care measure, we find that 71% were linked, and then if we were to include same-day labs for within 90 days, 77% were linked, which is a 9% increase if you include the same-day labs. Excluding same-day labs for within 30 days, the new linkage to care measure, we find that 47% were linked, and for including same-day labs for within 30 days, we find that 58% were linked to care. That's a 24% increase if you were to include same-day labs in that measure, showing that the same-day lab, including the same-day labs, affects the 30-day measure more than the 90-day measure. So in addition, we looked at how these cases were affected, how we looked at these cases by retention in care and viral suppression, using these outcomes as measures, as these outcome measures as gold standards for effective linkage to care. So for this analysis, retention in care was defined as two CD4 or viral load labs at least 3 months apart within 1 year, starting at their first lab after diagnosis, in order to give all cases an equal opportunity to be retained, whether they were linked within 30 days or not. So in this table, we can see that a high proportion of no same-day labs, no same-day lab cases with their first lab within 30 days were retained in care than cases with same-day labs. But past 30 days, the proportion retained flips to the same-day lab group. The arrows here, each arrow above corresponds to a row below, so you can contrast the no same-day lab cases and the same-day lab cases. We also saw the same pattern for the viral suppression among the two groups, with 66% suppressed among those linked within 30 days with no same-day labs, compared to 59% suppressed among those with same-day labs. In order to be virally suppressed for this study, we looked at the last viral load within 1 year of the first lab after diagnosis. It had to be less than 200 copies per milliliter. And also note that the for the same-day lab group, the percent suppressed among those linked within 30 days is less than the percent suppressed among those linked in the next two time periods. Lastly, we assess statistical differences using multivariate logistic regression models, controlling for sex, age, race, and transmission risk. We used mutually exclusive groups and compared them to a reference group of the first or second lab within 30 days. The results for the no same-day lab group were not surprising. Those with their first lab later than 30 days had lower odds of being retained or suppressed than those with their first lab within 30 days of their diagnosis. However, the results for the same-day lab group were a bit more interesting. Those with their second lab, which would be considered their first lab if we were to exclude their same-day labs, those with their second lab between 30 and 90 days had greater odds of being retained in care than those with their second lab within 30 days, with an odds ratio of 2.9. And this group also had a greater odds of being virally suppressed with those being virally suppressed than those with their second lab within 30 days, with an odds ratio of 5.3. So at this time, we don't actually know what to make of these results, other than to say that the same-day lab group are a heterogeneous group that we need to analyze further and probably separate from the no same-day lab group. Our key findings for the study were that a high proportion of Georgia HIV cases have a CD4 viral load test on or within 6 days of their diagnosis. Two, that the same-day labs have a greater effect on their 30-day linkage to care measure than the 90-day linkage to care measure. Three, that the linking, including same-day labs, appears to overestimate the percentage of new diagnoses achieving effective linkage within 30 days. Four, that there are still unanswered questions about the same-day lab cases and why their care outcomes differ from the no same-day lab cases. And going forward, we have enacted procedures to improve our diagnosis date information procurement, and we are seeing an improvement on a proportion of our cases with a diagnostic lab. In addition, we think that a detailed follow-up of Georgia cases will be necessary to determine whether the labs within 6 days of diagnosis are medical visits or not. And we also anticipate a shift towards an increasing number of new diagnoses with same-day labs as more rapid entry into care protocols are implemented among HIV care providers, which really highlights the need to determine how to handle these same-day labs. And thank you for listening.